Shrinkram Srimanada, Canto 5, Chapter 18, Text Number 19.
In this verse, Lakshmi Devi, Rama,
shows compassion towards women who worship the Lord for the benediction of possessing a good husband. Although such women desire to be happy with children's wealth, a long duration of life, and everything near to them, they cannot possibly do so. In the material world, a so-called husband is dependent on the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many examples of a woman whose husband being dependent of the result of his own creative actions, cannot maintain his wife, her children, her wealth, or her duration of life. Therefore, factually, the only real husband of all women is Krishna, the Supreme Husband, because the gopis were liberated so they understood this fact. Therefore, they rejected their material husbands and accepted Krishna as the real husband. Krishna is the real husband not only of the gopis, but every living entity. Everyone should perfectly understood that Krishna is the real husband of all living entities, who are described in the Bhagavad Gita as Prakriti, females, not Purusha, males. In Bhagavad Gita 10.12, only Krishna is addressed as Purusha. Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paraman Bhavan Purushan Sasvatam Divyan Adideva Ajam Vibhum. You are the Supreme Brahman, the ultimate of the Supreme Abode and the Purifier, the Absolute Truth and the Eternal Divine Person. You are the Primal God, Transcendental and Original, and you are the more and all-pervading beauty. Krishna is the original Purusha, and the living entities are Prakriti. Thus, Krishna is the enjoyer, and all living entities are meant to be enjoyed by Him. Therefore, any woman who seeks a material husband for her protection, or any man who desires to become a husband of a woman, is under illusion. To become a husband means to maintain a wife and children nicely by supplying wealth and security. However, a material husband cannot possibly do this, for he is dependent on his karma. Karmana daiva netrena. His circumstances are determined by his past rhythmic activities. Therefore, if one proudly thinks that he can protect his wife, he is under illusion. Krishna is the only husband, and therefore, the relationship between husband and wife in this material world cannot be absolute, because we have the desire to marry. Krishna mercifully allow the so-called husband to possess a wife and the wife to possess a so-called husband for mutual satisfaction. In the Upanishad it is said, Tena tiena bhujita, the Lord provides everyone with his quota. Actually, however, every living entity is Prakriti or female, and Krishna is the only husband. Ekaneshvara Krishna Arasa Pavritya Jareja Chenacharya Senita Chikare Nitya Chaitanya Chaitanya 5.142. Krishna is the original master or husband of everyone, and all other living entities, having taken the form of so-called husband or wives, are dancing according to his desires. A so-called husband men unite with his wife for sense gratification, but his senses are conducted by Rishikesha, the master of the senses, who is therefore the actual husband.
So Bhavatan is full of these prayers.
We recite from the first canto, for example, Arjuna's prayers, Queen Kunti, Bhishma prayers, and now we are with the residents of Jambudvipa as well. And in this case, specifically, it's Lakshmi. So, in order to understand, for example, how we should pray, there is a system how we can offer prayers. Many of us, we don't know how to do it. If you remember the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj, when he was having darshan of the Lord, he wanted to offer prayers, but he didn't know how to do it. Do you remember what happened at that time? How he started praying to the Lord? That's right, Krishna empowered him. You have a touch of the conscience? Thank you. Yes, so in that way, we also can relate. If we don't know how to pray, Krishna can help us to do it. And also, the examples in the Bhagavatam can give us some guidance, how we can present our prayers. And generally, we offer prayers to the Lord with different purpose, with different motives. But there is a standard way how to do it. And do you remember how generally our advanced devotees or the prayers in Bhagavatam start? What are the words that in the beginning first are presented? There is a way. No, it's more like I approach to the Lord, I want to demand what I want. First, there is an appropriate attitude. Do you remember? Or can you relate to what's the first word that we use, or they use?
Namaha.
Yes, that's right. It's because first we, with submissive attitude, we offer our obeisance, or the prayers, like that. First, it's offering obeisance, namaha, pankaya, namaha, pankaya, it's the Kunti's prayers. And here also, with Lakshmi Devi, when she starts her prayers, also it's Nama. Remembering that the attitude, the appropriate attitude, how we can address to the Lord, offering some prayers. And then after offering obeisance or reverence, what we can do? Oh, the next part is glorifying the Lord. The qualities of the Lord. So it's that is the, I would say, how prayer should be done. First obeisance, then describing the good qualities and the activities of the Lord. And then we can approach with our petition. And at the end also it's not just I want this, it's after you, my Lord. If you want, you can give it us, or you can satisfy this desire. It's important for us to know how we can offer prayers, because it's part of our process, an authorized process. So here, in this specific text, Lakshmi Devi also is offering the same obeisance to the Lord, glorifying the qualities of the Lord. And now it's one of these characteristics of the Lord. He is the controller of everything. He is the husband of every living entity. And we said in the beginning, for example, the prayers that every devotee in the Bhagavatam is offering to the Lord is according to their circumstances. So in this case, Lakshmi is addressing to the Lord in her personal circumstance, as the wife of the Lord, as her, she is addressing to him as her husband. And the important point that personally I found quite insightful when Prabhupada, for example, said that in the beginning of the purpose, that Lakshmi Devi is showing compassion towards women. So how she's showing that compassion, do you know? Or can we understand how she's showing that compassion towards all humans? Is saying, for example, Tamar's truth, all your desires will be fulfilled. The women generally are looking for a nice man who can provide protection and supply all the needs for her. So Lakshmi Devi, her compassion, is said that Tamar's truth, all your desires will be fulfilled. Is that her compassion? No? How is her compassion shown here? Shown, do you know?
Telling the truth.
Telling the truth? Yeah, and why is that true?
By helping them to think that they're not the body, to rise above the body conception.
Yeah, rising above the body conception. What else?
Their husbands can't actually protect them.
The so-called husband, they cannot protect, And what else? It's something very important.
Leading them to the correct path and showing who is the actual husband.
That's right, thank you.
It's acting like the, almost like the little mother.
Yeah, that's right. It's making sure that every woman understands that the real husband is the Supreme Personality of God. So that is her compassion. And it's the same point that I should can remember the grace of Prahlad Maharaj when he, from the male point of view, is also spreading or preaching that this material world is dark. Well, the marriage is entanglement. The same thing. It's over Lakshmi Devi now, preaching from a female point of view to females, the same principle. So it's, and she does it in different ways also, not just in this part of the Bhagavatam. Do you remember what Rukmini said to Krishna in the 10th canto about the same point? Rukmini is an expansion of Lakshmi, yes? Yeah, it's Lakshmi as well. She also expressed Krishna, why I should marry another person, accept another male, materially. She also presented the same point. And in another part of the Bhagavatam, Lakshmi Devi as well, they convey the same message in another pastime. Do you remember what happened when the turning of the ocean in the canto? Lakshmi Devi came from there. And what she was doing, she was holding her hand, a garland, looking for her husband. Mm-hmm. And what she did?
She would evaluate each person and she would disqualify each one.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, she was, maybe this novice is bad temper, no good temper, he's also mortal, he's not mortal. And finally, he reached Narayan and she gave the garland to Narayan, accepting him as her husband. And the same way, it's the same principle that she gave to me here in the different parts of Bhagavatam as well. For all of us to understand that Krishna is the real husband of every living entity. But because, as Mataji also mentioned, it's arising a bit more about the body conception, understanding our identity. And Prabhupada nicely clarified this point in the purpose about we as a Prakriti, all the living entities as a Prakriti, and in that way dependent of the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Purusha, Krishna. So in that way it's not like we should understand it. Body, the bodies that we have here, female or male, it's just a temporary circumstance of cover, but as an essence, all of us share the same nature. So our constitutional nature is to be dependent from the law. So that is that nature we share, all of us, not as a creativity, as a spiritual soul. We cannot act independently. We want it. So for that reason, we came to this material world trying to act independently. embarking the adventure of trying to enjoy this material world, trying to control and enjoy this material world, but we always face difficulties because we are not able to do so. And that frustration creates a lot of suffering, and because false identification, false conception of life. So understanding this point is very, very, I would say, essential for all of us, because somehow where we are active in this material life now, in our current circumstances, and we are interacting with other living entities, with Krishna's energy, and in that way we develop some temporary relationships as well. So if we understand our position, our temporary relationships can be also dovetails in evolutionary service and provide us facilities for us in our evolutionary service, in our process going back to Godhead. So, but again, understanding that who is the real protector, the real supplier of our needs. It's an important principle that applies to everyone, not just a woman, women, so, because even males, men, they need protection. Am I wrong? Yeah, so, yeah, everybody. So, and also important to understand that who is really a man. Prabhupada in the purpose to clarify this point. Who is a man is the one who is able to provide protection, who is able to maintain. And nobody can do it that independently. It's only Krishna, the one who can do it. Because all of us, we are dependent from our previous activities, the karma that we have influenced us, also kala, and the modes of nature. Of course, all of them are directly controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in that way, nobody is independent or able to provide of able to protect without Krishna's protection, without Krishna's help. We can try to assist, we can try to help each other, but if we align our behavior with the Supreme Protector, otherwise would be a frustration in our attempt to do so. And what to say, for example, expecting from other living entities that as well. All of us who grew up in a society where we received protection, for example, from the very beginning from our parents, then gradually from friends, the job, from the government, but all our temporary experience also are frustrated in many aspects. Nobody can say that the protection that they receive is all fulfilling and satisfying. But that's an artificial way how we attempt to look for, or to get protection from the fallible means. Because our searching for protection, security, it's constant and natural as an understanding that our dependence as a constitutional position. So when we are not feeling protected, we feel fear, and that is the main problem in our conditional state. Because also, again, body conception of life, looking for artificial or secondary temporary means for protection doesn't guarantee us the protection that we are looking for, and then we expect in fear. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is trying to instill faith, trust in Krishna, in Arjuna. Krishna is trying to convey to Arjuna, please do not fear, I will protect you. And he does it in different ways, but in whole Bhagavad Gita, different parts, Krishna is explaining, I'm the source of everything, I'm the provider of everything, do not fear. Even when he showed the universal form to Arjuna, he conveyed two messages to Arjuna in that universal form. Graphically, in the universal form, Arjuna was able to see how his enemies, all the Kauravas, were destroyed, that they were crushed, and the tears of the world, the universal form, did you see that? And he saw all that, so he got that understanding that Krishna, all of my enemies would be killed. That's one. And then another aspect that Arjuna got from having that darshan is that Krishna is in the control of everything and he's the source of everything, because Arjuna was able to see everything in that universal form. The description is quite overwhelming. So in that way, it was quite a strong, intense experience for Arjuna to see that overwhelming form of the Lord. But at the same time, he got these two points, two messages that gave him, that those messages, those points gave to him that Krishna is the controller. So you have to have faith in that. So at the end, even for example, that's a beautiful in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explained as well another source of everything that is essential for the living entity. From the external point of view as well, like for example, another source of the light, the sun, the moon, and the fire, and also the digesting fire in the body. But also in 15:15, Krishna says, internally, and also the source of the knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness, and the heart of all the entities. So again and again, reinforcing that point, trust on me, Arjuna, and the source of everything, do not fear, I'm taking care of everything. So, Krishna Krishna trying constantly to convey that message to all of us. And personally, yesterday when I was trying to prepare for the class and listening to some lectures, I found quite interesting that point that Krishna is very active in that conveying his endeavor to bring us close to him, to save us. The nature of love, in one way, that whoever loves somebody will do everything as possible that the other person will be okay, safe, happy. And Krishna is doing that for all of us. And his endeavor is constant in different ways, but he is not forcing us. He is giving us the freedom as well. That's one point that I wanted to emphasize, the importance of understanding of the dependence of Krishna. And our main problem is fear, because we are experiencing looking for protection from material or temporary factors that they are not are successful in that providing protection to us, and we are scared. And the only way to experience protection that is inherent of our nature is coming from Krishna, the original source of everything, Krishna. He said that because of that, looking for security and protection, We are trying to endeavor to arrange different means in our activities according to our circumstances, but we fail to do so, and we are scared. People are in, for example, we see the main constant concern is what will happen in the future. We have fear for the future, the uncertainty, but actually it's not the future itself, but it's the uncertainty that I cannot control what will happen. So that sense of control gives us some kind of security. But when we realize that we cannot control what will happen, we can have idea probably what will happen, but we cannot control that. That is scary. The only way how we can get peace of mind is understanding that Krishna is the one who is in control and that he will give us protection. And that is a very important journey that all of us as spiritual practitioners we need to achieve. That Krishna will take care of us. It's something that we need gradually being very mindful and cultivate that understanding. Well, not just understanding theoretically, but realization. And this process, the way how Prabhupada designed our morning program and activities in Krishna consciousness, it's helping us to develop that realization. Krishna will take care of us, that conviction. And then our mind will achieve that peace that we are hungering for. Because that fear that we somehow or other experience is just a sign that lack of our trust, our faith that Krishna will protect us. And he is the only one who can give us that protection. Yes, that is one point that we wanted to mention. And also that's the realization that even in a so-called perfect circumstance like Kalamamuni and Vahuti, we remember that past time in the third canto, that Kalamamuni is described as the so-called ideal husband, knowledgeable, intelligent, and devotee, and who was protecting her, and the devotee, a qualified lady as well. Devotee with good qualities. And they developed that relationship of husband and wife, assisting each other in the process of cultivating Krishna consciousness as an idea of grihasthas. But the Bhakti, she requests something to Kapila Dev. That's a very important point for all of us to understand. The Bhakti, at the end, when she got a child, Kapila Dev, and he instructed her, she said, "I have a request. Please give me freedom for fear, give me fearlessness." And how is that possible? No, because she got the ideal husband, the ideal circumstances, even her son, his incarnation of the Lord, and she was experiencing fear. So that's another way for us to understand that all the material circumstances, even for example, in order to endeavor practicing Krishna consciousness, it won't be enough if not generated directly with Krishna. Otherwise, we will fail and experience the same frustration that it's not enough, that what we are expecting. And personally, when I was reading the last part of the Bhagavad Gita requesting fearlessness, it was like an eye opening. This we can try to endeavor to facilitate or accommodate resources from our perspective, what we can or would be favorable for successful of our goals, but it will fail. It's only Krishna who can give us. Because fear is something that all of us in different degrees we experience. And that is more directly vivid in the, at the moment of death. When we are dying or when we die, different devotees, people have experience when we face death or, for example, accidents or some kind of incidents that your life is threatened. It's a lot of fear. But even again, practicing Krishna consciousness or practicing the process, we experience in some degrees that fear. So that can give us some signs to help us understand where is our position or where we are at, what is our level of understanding about this point. So this, I'll stop here if you want to do any comments, questions. Having fear is good or no good? I thank you for the question. But the thing is, having fear from what? Because basically, fear that most of us experience because of false identification that we have, understanding that, or considering that we are the body, we don't have that realization of the spiritual soul that is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge and those. So if we realize that from that position, that nature of us, the fear will disappear. Because as a spiritual souls, we are eternal, we don't die. If that kind of fear is in that sense not so favorable. But we should have also fear in the sense of offending devotees, for example, or no injury enough to please Krishna in our relationship with Krishna. Be careful, mindful, how practicing the process. It's no fear, but it's careful, be cautious. Yeah, because we don't want to fail Krishna in more in that way. Fear, the kind of fear is favorable, can be inspiring as well, can be motivational. That's my humble understanding. Can somebody else, if somebody else would like to say something more about that? That's fine.
This was seems to be.
For pleasure, interacting with others for Krishna's pleasure, respecting all living entities as an energy of Krishna and spiritual souls, so, and all together helping each other in growing in our Krishna consciousness, assisting each other. So naturally we generate that loving exchanges, respectful exchanges, responsibility. But that requires a lot of maturity as well. And understanding also our current circumstances, because yet we are a spiritual soul, all of us we share the same nature, but we are influenced by the modes of nature in a different ways. For that reason we have the bodies, different bodies, and we have to acknowledge the influence of them in how we perform our devotional service as well. So, in that way, Swadharma and Dharma, Sanatana Dharma, it's very important to create that harmony, because I have to acknowledge that in this current life, for example, I have a female body. And this female body has the influence of the modes of nature, my previous karma, kala, and in a different degree compared, for example, to male body. So we are in this way, for example, in the female body, I'm able to perform some activities that a male body is not able to perform. So we can complement each other for the performance of the devotional service, Krishna's pleasure, in harmony as well. Very important to understand that the balance of understanding what is my current circumstance. And when, so based on that, utilizing as a favorable element in my process, the growing process. If that answers your question, no? Thank you. Thank you. Any more questions, comments? Ladies? Lady and husband? Quite important that point also for consider one of the mercies Prabhu mentioned, the mercy of Lakshmi Devi towards women, telling the truth. It's important to realize that we cannot expect the perfect husband in this material creation. What we're looking for, it's natural. Looking for the ideal husband, the devotee with knowledge who will protect us. Yeah, it's like a natural tendency. But we need to be aware that it won't be possible in this material creation to achieve that with whole perfect arrangement that we dream with or we dream of. The only person who can be the ideal husband is Krishna. But we can interact with the so-called husband, as Bhagavan said, as a mean for us to a temporary arrangement. That is like
Best use of the bad body.
That's right. So in that sense, acknowledging that we cannot, the expectations that we have, it should be more realistic and be clear in that way if we embark in that journey of Grihastha or husband or accepting a husband. The expectation that the perfect husband should be clearly, I would say, avoid, because it won't happen in this material world unless we achieve pure Krishna consciousness and, of course, Krishna's arrangements as well. Anything else? Thank you for your time. Thank you. Thank you.